Now, that's the teeth-grating sound of a squeaky gate, which in recent Australian-led research changed the perception of back stiffness in people with chronic low back pain, and you won't be surprised to hear that it wasn't for the better. Many people with low back pain complain that their back feels stiff, and that feeling of stiffness is actually a predictor of disability. One of the questions asked by this study was whether a feeling of stiffness actually means your back is stiff, and if not, then what is going on? The lead author was Dr. Tasha Stanton, who's a senior research fellow at the University of South Australia, and Tasha is in our Adelaide studio. Welcome to the Health Report.
Thanks, Norman. Lovely to be here.
Why did you suspect there was something going on with the concept of feeling stiff?
Well, partially because actually all of our sensations, all of our perceptions, our bodily feelings, they are an accumulation of information from various different sources. And so we often will see a disconnect between what's going on at a tissue level and what you feel. So an example of this might be of pain. So you think about if you get a paper cut, how much does that hurt? It's a tiny little injury. Or let's say you have a bruise that you don't remember getting. You sustain tissue damage, but you don't remember it. And pain is memorable. So if you experience pain, you would have remembered. So we see that there's this history of disconnect between what we feel and what's actually going on. And so I was really interested to explore that with feelings of stiffness.
So you had different parts of this study. You had people with chronic back pain, and some of them felt their back was stiff, some of them felt they weren't, and then you had a control group who didn't have back pain or stiffness. Is that right?
Yeah, so we are a group that had chronic back pain and chronic stiffness. They had a variety of levels of stiffness in their back, and that allowed us to kind of explore a little bit the relationship that we might see between, you know, how stiff does their back feel versus how stiff actually is their back.
So that was the first part of your study. So what did you find there?
Well, what we found was, surprisingly, that how stiff you feel your back to be doesn't relate at all to objectively how stiff your back is. And we measured this using with people lying on their tummies and basically a pressure force applied to their spine. And this helped us to get a really sensitive measure of how stiff their back truly was.
So there was no relationship there. So something else is going on with the feeling of stiffness.
That's exactly right. So what we were interested in is, how do people perceive input that's coming to their back? So we got people to actually estimate how much force they thought that they received when we were applying this pressure to their back. And what we found was really interesting. So people who had back pain and stiffness, they were protective in that they would overestimate how much force they thought that they were getting or that they were truly getting. And what's intriguing is actually this protective behavior, this overestimation of force related to actually how stiff their back felt.
So the more stiff your back felt, the more you thought the force was stronger on your back than it actually was.
That's exactly right. The more protective you seem to be in terms of your judgments about what's occurring at your back.
And these people also, from my research correctly, when you applied the force, they were more sensitive to the force. They detected it at a lower level.
It was interesting. They actually detected any change in force much better than people that didn't have back pain and stiffness. So there would be a very small difference between two forces that we applied in a row at their back. And they were incredibly good at detecting that. So it almost suggests this picture of they're being protective in that they think that they're getting more force than they truly are, but they're also, in a way, hypervigilant in that they will detect any tiny little change that's occurring.
So is that a bad thing?
It's not a great thing. In terms of, let's say, an acute injury, an injury that you've just sustained, a lot of those behaviors are adaptive in the sense that they stop you from doing different activities that likely would cause you potentially more tissue damage. But the challenge comes when things are chronic, because a lot of times any tissue injury that occurred has pretty much healed by the time that you've had a condition for about, you know, anything more than about 6 months. And so what we're seeing there is a disconnect. And these initially adaptive things, so keeping you away from re-injury, are now becoming maladaptive in that they're potentially stopping you from doing relatively safe things.
Because you're overprotective. So where does the squeaky gate come in?
It's a very good question.
I'm not going to play it again because I've just nauseated the entire Radio National audience, both here and in Canada. So,
it's incredibly grating. So it came from this idea that sound almost inherently has meaning when we think of stiffness. So if you think of moving, if you have a stiff joint, a stiff knee joint, or a stiff back, often we hear cracks and pops, and you might even hear like a grinding sound. So in a way, there's this ecological value of sound.
I should have given a warning to people not to eat while this was on. Sorry, I forgot.
Not a worry.
So you played sounds to people with back stiffness.
Yeah, we did. So we basically paired the sound of that creaky door, which everyone heard, to that pressure applied to people's back. And quite unsurprisingly, what we found was that that made them become much more protective of their back. So they began to overestimate force more and more. And this was a marker of feelings of increased stiffness.
So what you're saying there basically is that this is a perceptual problem rather than a real problem.
That's right.
Did you find a sound that relaxed the back?
We did, yes. So if you paired that pressure at the back, if you gave them sound, either of a gentle kind of whoosh sound, or you made the creaky sound get less and less creaky over time, so over three different pressures, actually what they started to do is began to underestimate force, which is then a marker for these feelings of decreased back stiffness.
So is this a therapy for a potential therapy for back stiffness?
It potentially could be. We're really exploring this idea that I think there's a need to move from the idea that when you feel, let's say, a symptom or sensation in the back, it might not always be the back that's the problem. It might be the way that our brain is combining different information. And so this is feasibly a potential therapy in that it's relatively unexplored. We've not really used this before to try to target some of our sensations.
Now, one of the things that's associated with chronic pain is, you know, if you've been going through difficult life circumstances, many life changes, there are various things that can increase the risk of chronic pain. Did you find that was associated with stiffness? Did you sort of do a psychological profile of the people who felt stiff?
Yeah, we took a look at this, and actually not very many things correlated with them feeling stiff. There was fear of movement was something that was an interesting factor that came close to correlating to how stiff that they felt. But in the most case, this in our sample that we recruited, we didn't find high levels of depression in our sample.
So we're not saying this is a mental health issue. It's simply a pattern of behavior you've got into, which
That's right.
the brain is involved with.
And I think it's important to note that it's unconscious. People aren't choosing to necessarily have these different things, but it's how our brain is unconsciously putting together and integrating different sensory information, and we're just using one of those channels.
We're almost out of time. Any tips?
I would say if you're feeling back pain and stiffness, note when it's occurring and note what your surroundings are like. So we're looking into this a little bit further to see if, let's say you're in a car accident and you start to feel stiffness following that accident. Are you then feeling that mainly when you're in the car after that? Do we have these factors that seem to cue these sensations?
And then address those. Tasha, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Dr. Tasha Stanton is a senior research fellow at the Sansom Institute for Health Research at the University of South Australia and is also a conjoint researcher at NEURA, the Neuroscience Australia, at the University of New South Wales. And you're listening to The Health Report here on RN, ABC News and CBC Radio across Canada.